Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be back with you after we had a 1 week time off. All things according to the good timing of God. I know that this was profitable for me to regroup, to get a little rest. And I have been praying and do pray so even now that the Lord God will bless us, bless me in bringing this to you, and bless you and I as we hear what God has for us today. Matthew 11:19, Christ speaking, and he says, "Wisdom is justified by her children." Wisdom is justified. As I've told you before, the word justified has to do with righteousness. Justification and righteousness are exactly the same Greek word. Wisdom is proved righteous by her children. These children of wisdom will reflect the one who has birthed them, the one whose children they are. Today we speak on the children of wisdom, wisdom's children. How can wisdom have children? And folks, I'm referring to human beings as the children of wisdom. We are dealing, as we always do in our messages, with spiritual matters. But let's not forget that the human body is the habitation of the spirit and soul. Human beings are spirit, soul, and physical body. And for Christians, the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. But let's keep our minds set on that which is most important, the things of Christ, which are spiritual and of eternal importance. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Wisdom and knowledge are the two sides of one coin. And that coin is understanding. Wisdom and knowledge, the two sides of the coin of understanding. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his ways past finding out. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secrets belong to the Lord our God. The secrets belong to Jehovah Jesus, our supreme God, the second person of the triune God. God there being Elohim, has a plural ending, but is treated as a singular word. So here we see the secrets belong to Jehovah Jesus, the second person of the triune God. But those revealed, the secrets belong to God, but those revealed belong to us. Things which God does not keep secret from his people. I want to read from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. For I want you to know, says the Apostle Paul, as led by the Holy Spirit of God, these things come from the mind of God, the Spirit of Christ. For I want you to know what a great conflict or struggle I have for you and those in Laodicea. And as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, the coin of understanding, unto the knowledge of the mystery of God. This was revealed earlier in the letter to the Colossians, the understanding unto the knowledge of the mystery of God. That mystery was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Unto the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Christ is the express image of the Father. If you've seen Christ, and I'm speaking spiritually here, you've seen the Father. Both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The two sides of that one coin of understanding. All the treasures are hidden in Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. And we spoke of that mystery, Christ in you. All these treasures are in Christ, and Christ is in you. The treasures found in the God-man, Jesus Christ. If you want true wisdom and true knowledge leading to an understanding of God, Jesus Christ, and He alone, is the source. He is the root from which wisdom and knowledge come. If you have so-called wisdom and knowledge, and it does not come from Christ, then you are, as the scriptures say, really a fool. The Holy Scripture proclaims Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, God's wisdom. And these same scriptures, and I'm actually taking both these from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it also says, Christ Jesus, who has been made unto us Christians, wisdom from God. Would you have wisdom? Well, it must be from God, and Christ must be in you. Jesus Christ is the personification of wisdom. Wisdom manifested as a person. The personification of wisdom. Now, with what I've just told you, which comes by way of revelation, with that revelation, and therefore, this understanding concerning Christ, we have greater light concerning the children of wisdom. Wisdom's children. These children are Christ's children. Now, that's always puzzled me a bit, because we are the children of God the Father. How then are we Christ's children? In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we see Christ speaking to his Father and of his Father. And he's speaking about his brethren and the children his Father gave to him and actually gives to him. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. I will declare your name, says Christ to his Father. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. That's from Psalm chapter 22. Now, folks, in very real measure, as Christ is in us, we're doing the same thing here today, declaring the name of God to our brothers and sisters in the midst of the assembly, the true assembly of God in spirit. Christ goes on, and again, Christ says to his Father, I will put my trust in him, says of his Father. I will put my trust in him. Christ trusts explicitly, perfectly in his Father. And actually, if you were to read in 2 Samuel and the book of Isaiah, you'll see Christ is quoting from that. And then Christ says, and again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Quoted from Isaiah 8:18. Christ speaks of his brethren as the children God has put into his possession. In this sense, we as Christians are Christ's children. Therefore, as Christ is wisdom in a person, we as his children are children of wisdom. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? In the light of that revelation of Christ, I want us to turn to the Proverbs, and we're going to do some extensive reading from Proverbs chapter 1 and Proverbs chapter 2. Now, I'll tell you where we're going because we're not going to read every single verse. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Two types of Christ. King of Israel. Perfect description of Christ. King of Israel, the Israel of God, the church. That describes our Christ. But not only that, as we see from the fullness of the scripture, the whole counsel of God, Christ is the King of kings, all kings, and the King, and the Lord of lords, all lords. He is ruler over all. All authority has been given unto him. That doesn't leave out any authority. All authority has been given unto him. Proverbs 1 goes on, to know wisdom. This is the heart of the message. To know wisdom. And we'll be coming about back to this as we close the message. Those three words. To know wisdom, folks, is to know Christ intimately. This is eternal life. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. Remember our coin with its two sides. To receive the instruction of wisdom. To know, to receive. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. When we see that word justice again, we think of righteousness. to give prudence to the simple. And in this portion of the scripture, to give prudence to the simple here speaks of the elect among the simple. All of us folks, spiritually speaking, all of us Christians today were simple. We were shallow. We were ignorant of the things of God. But God gave unto us prudence. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise one, next two words are overwhelmingly important. A wise one will hear. A truly wise person, indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, which is wisdom, will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain or acquire wise counsel. Only these kinds of people will attain, will acquire wise counsel. They listen. They have hearing ears. To understand, our one of our key words there again, a proverb and an interpretation. The words of the wise and their dark sayings or riddles. Of course, verse 7, overwhelmingly important, and we're going to expand on that. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of Jehovah Jesus. This is talking about a reverential fear, folks. Not a continuous terror of God, but a reverential, loving fear of the Lord God. The fear of the Lord, the fear of Jehovah Jesus. Now, I know your scriptures have the word is. That is inserted. I'm not going to say the word is in this context because I want you to see this. These two terms are synonymous. They're one and the same. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord and the beginning of knowledge are the same. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Knowledge and wisdom. Of course, those of you who are familiar with the scriptures know that in Proverbs 9:10, we see the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. Again, synonymous. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge leading to understanding begin with the fear of the Lord, a reverential fear of God. Now I want us to move from the beginning of that chapter over to verse 20, where we're going to see from verse 20 through verse 32, God speaking to the unregenerate who are reprobate. Folks, these persons are never going to apply these verses to themselves in this life. And the language is unmistakable here. Listen closely. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones? Another application of that one simple. Here, the shallowness, the ignorance will stay with these folks. They're not going to grow in learning. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. In that verse, folks, simple ones, scorners, and fools all speak of the same people. They delight in their scorning because they believe their scorning is right. They hate knowledge, and that means true knowledge as given by God. So what does God say to such people? Turn at my rebuke. He has put out a stern rebuke, and he commands them to turn at his rebuke. This is talking about true repentance. And then we're going to see that what God calls for is actually a result of what he says next. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Folks, they're not going to turn, so God will not follow through with that. Now, the following nine verses prove exactly what I'm saying there. The following nine verses are going to prove what I just said. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Now, folks, if God left you alone, as he's going to be leaving these folks alone, you wouldn't have turned either. You would have refused. You would not have regarded. Then it goes on. But you dismissed, and the King James says set at naught, set as nothing. But you dismissed all my counsel. They don't want to hear any of it, folks. And so would you and I have done the same had not God been merciful to us and quickened us, made us alive together with Christ, so that we would and could hear. But you dismissed all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. Don't want any part of it. So what's going to happen? I, says God, will also laugh at your calamity. Now, for those of you who would be critical of that, you know, so God laughs at them. Folks, that's a holy laughter, a pure, righteous laughter. And for those of you who hate God, you have absolutely no idea what that is. You see it from your perspective, which is clouded, indeed, which is blind. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. A holy mocking, a pure mocking, a righteous mocking. When, another very, very key word, they said as nothing, they dismissed his counsel, had none of his rebuke. And so what we see here next is when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then, the next word says, they will call on me. Folks, that's someone in a great deal of trouble who's not truly repenting but wants to just get out of a real bad spot. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. Now, that's a bad thing, isn't it, folks? You dial 911 and nobody picks up the phone. Your house is burning down. You're bleeding to death. One of your children is choking to death. But they won't pick up the phone. Then they will seek me diligently. I think the King James says they will seek me early, but they will not find me. Folks, they're not really looking for God. They're looking for the way out so they can go back to their prior behavior. Now, how do I know that's true? Very next verse. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And again, that's Jehovah Jesus. They would have none, absolutely none. And that's the way these people are. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me that. I don't want to listen to that stuff. They would have none of my counsel. And they despised my every rebuke. Every single time they were confronted with their sin, they despised it. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. Now, folks, you can't change that. I can't change that. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you plant really bad fruit, that's what you're going to eat. That's all there's going to be for you to eat. And be filled to the full. You're going to be filled up to the full with your own devices. The word devices there means purposes. Your purpose comes to a dead end. I pray that we're listening. For the turning away of the simple. Now, folks, that doesn't mean a true repentance in turning away from God, and turning away from sin, but in fact does mean turning their backs on God. And the turning away of the simple will slay them. And the prosperity of fools will destroy them. Now, that word prosperity, if you look it up in your Strong's, you'll see that it has to do with complacency. You know, when you're rich and you're full and you have everything you think you need to have, and I don't necessarily mean material possessions, but you're in the place where you want to be mentally, your own opinions, and so on. Complacency. In other words, what you're saying is, I'm okay. I'm all right. That kind of complacency will destroy them. Now this, all of this that we've just read concerning these unregenerate, reprobate folks is a prime example of God leaving people alone with their sin after repeated warnings. Now that's the way it is in the Holy Scripture. No one is going to be able to say, I didn't know. Folks, everybody has a conscience. At least they start out with a conscience. It may be seared as with a hot iron of sin. And you lose any sense of real conscience. But God is going to exact payment for that because he's righteous. He's pure. He's a God of justice. Now the last verse in that first chapter is actually a complete turnaround. It begins with the word but. But whoever listens to me. In other words, now for those who have an ear to hear, listen to what Christ will speak. But whoever listens to me, and I guess I should have been telling you as we looked all the way through there, me, through these scriptures, that again was speaking about wisdom, and what we're looking at, remember, is the personification of that wisdom, who is Christ. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be quiet. And the quietness there has to do with being peaceful. Peace with God, which is always accompanied by the peace of God. And will be quiet without fear of evil. And then we move right into chapter 2. This is for the people of God. We need to listen as Christ, who is our wisdom, speaks to the children that God gave to him. My son, if, key word in the scriptures I'm going to read to you, if you receive my words and treasure, I think the King James says hide there, hide as if treasure, and treasure my commands within you. You see, we're speaking of spiritual matters, matters of the heart. If you do these things so that you incline your ear to wisdom, you are ready to hear. Are you, am I, listening? Are we paying attention? So that you incline your ear to wisdom. Are you listening to Christ? Apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jehovah Jesus. Oh my goodness, again, through those verses, quickly, if you receive, treasure, incline your ear, apply your heart, cry out, lift up your voice, seek, search, we have asking, seeking, then you will receive. Now, after we've read verses like that, how can we attain? How can we do these actions from the heart and from the mind? Matthew 19:11 has the simple answer: only to whom it is given. Did you hear me? Only to whom it is given. This is how those things become a reality. And listen, to what the very next verse in that chapter says. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth, knowledge and understanding. And you know what I thought about immediately when I read that and I wrote it right down? He breathes into us the life of God. He breathes into us the life of his God. From his mouth, knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. A shield, this God, a shield to those who walk uprightly. Now listen to the next verse. He guards the paths of justice, the paths of righteousness, and preserves the way of his saints. Those who walk uprightly, folks, those who are upright with sound wisdom, these are his saints. The ones he has set apart for himself to do his good purpose. And look at the very next word. If those things occur, then, if God gives wisdom, if he breathes into you the life of God, then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Then you will understand righteousness. We're going to close with that when we get to that point. When wisdom enters your heart. Remember that then? Well, that then is when wisdom enters your heart. And how did wisdom enter your heart? God gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. And knowledge is pleasant to your soul. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, look what we find. Discretion will preserve you, and understanding, the coin of wisdom and knowledge, will keep you. Now, before leaving verse 10, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, that's absolute evidence, folks, of the new birth. The fact that you have been born again. Understanding will keep you. Now we do close with looking to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And I hope you will keep in mind all of what we've thus done. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Remember the three words I told you to keep in mind from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2? To know wisdom. This is to know Christ intimately, and this is eternal life. Now, Just a very quick regrouping of verse 20. Where the Son of God has come and given us an understanding. Folks, this is wisdom and knowledge entering your heart. And that understanding is an understanding of righteousness and justice. And when we understand that, then we know Christ. We know Him. And as I said, to know Christ is to know Him intimately. This is eternal life. Amen. Now, Brother Bobby is going to bring us a message and song. Let's pray while this is going on. Thank you.
At last and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned high and shut His glories in. When Christ the mind maker died for man, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. I was there by faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Mm-hmm.